We will be reading this morning from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and this is what is written in the Hebrew scriptures from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because a temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You've continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father, David. But I'm only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime, you will have no equal among kings." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Be to God. Amen. So we want to ask an important question this morning as we move into the heart of this scripture. I guess one of the first things is, if you could ask for anything, if you could ask God for anything, what would it be? What would it be? I imagine that the list would be long and probably filled with a lot of things. I imagine that some people, tired of living each day, their bodies racked with pain, would ask for their health back. They would see this as an opportunity to escape from the prison of sickness that has held them captive for too long. I imagine that some people, blind like Bartimaeus, would ask for their sight to be returned to them. Some people would ask for their loved ones to be alive on earth again, especially those who feel their loved ones had been taken too soon. I imagine that some people, seeing this as an opportunity to clean house financially, would ask for unending financial resources so that they could live that life of the rich and famous, where champagne wishes and caviar dreams would become a reality. I imagine that some people would go to that place in their minds where island beach houses and coastal trips to their favorite vacation spot would be on the list. Perhaps some people would even ask for the ability to live without ever fearing having to want for anything. Some people would ask for power. Some people might even ask to see Jesus so that they would know for sure that he was real. Some people would ask for silly things like the ability to be invisible or the ability to fly like a bird. But if you could ask for anything, where would wisdom be on your list? And the truth of the matter is, we can imagine any scenario we'd like for our lives, but wisdom, especially about those things that order our lives, is the most precious gift of all. What people imagine they would ask for says a lot about who they are. It says a lot about what's most important to them, and it says a lot about where God is on their list of things to indulge themselves with. I don't think that's different for any one of us, really. We're led in a culture that defines our worth by how much we own and have. We're led to believe that acquiring great wealth is the answer to all of our problems. Even the words found in the Bible have Solomon saying in Ecclesiastes, through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. Feasts are made for laughter, wine gladdens life, and money meets every need. So maybe it's not unusual that money is such a marvelous enticement to all of us. It holds the answer to almost everything. It can buy people, houses, cars, lands, and institutions. But what good does it do to have it all if after getting it all, we don't know what to do with it? That's the situation Solomon finds himself in. He's a young man who is sitting on top of the world, twiddling his thumbs. He's now the king of the whole nation of Israel, already politically savvy. He's begun to make political alliances in order to secure his people's safety from neighboring kingdoms. Following the building of the temple, he continued to worship at the shrines where his people worship. And on a night unannounced, the Lord asked Solomon to ask for anything he wanted. Of the millions of things he could have asked for, money, power, real estate, or the ability to never die, he asked God for wisdom. He asked God for the one thing that would serve him regardless of his circumstances. He asked God for something that was more valuable than gold, more precious than rubies, more precious than silver, more precious than any jewel, and incomparable to anything else that could be named. He asked God for an understanding mind and a listening heart to be able to tell the difference between good and evil. Of all the things on his list, he asked for something that no one else would see, but that everyone could experience as a result of him getting it. He asked for wisdom, not knowledge, not intelligence, but wisdom. Who would have thought that wisdom would be so high on his list? And because he asked rightly, God granted him his heart's desire and then put icing on the cake. God gave him wisdom to lead God's people and then added riches and glory and a long life. I wonder if, when all is said and done, what we need is not more stuff, but the wisdom to manage the things we already have. What if all that was standing between us and our ability to love more deeply or to give more generously and unselfishly, to serve more passionately and live more graciously is the wisdom that comes from God. You see, brothers and sisters, I'm convinced that Solomon wasn't just asking for an ordinary knowledge and intellect about things. I'm convinced that Solomon didn't want to make a move politically or otherwise without being able to discern God's will in his decisions. And maybe that's the difference between Solomon and all of us. You see, brothers and sisters, we lack wisdom in most of our decisions, especially those decisions about money. So many people, not all, but many, act impulsively. It's been determined that most people, when they have more money, simply begin to live into their higher income level. They begin to see things with their eyes that they once either couldn't afford or had to live without, and then make a shift financially without giving consideration to the outcome of their decisions. They believe and think that through their newfound wealth, with the wisdom it takes to know what to do next, they don't have it. And it's that type of unwise decision making that gets people in trouble. There is a movie called Fun with Dick and Jane, featured Jim Carrey. And one day they're sitting at the table and his wife, played by Taya Leone, was saying, "We got a problem." She's saying, "You know, everything that we put our money into is gone." She tells them that they even repossess the grass. And I didn't even know you could repossess grass. I mean, she begins to tell them that their financial situation is worse than expected, that even if they sold their house, they would still owe the bank $150,000. In that very movie, they were having a conversation about what they could do. The maid whom they hired when they were living high on the hog was doing the vacuuming in the house, and suddenly the vacuum stopped working because the power got turned off. They had simply began to live above their means without considering what all of that would mean for their financial future. Perhaps you've never been in a dilemma like that, but there are people in our world who are. They're now caught in a housing bubble that burst, and they can't afford their new homes because of poor financial decisions. And the outcome might well have been different had they been relying on the wisdom of God rather than relying on the desires of their heart and what they thought they knew. If we pay attention to God's word, especially as we seek to understand the power of God's wisdom, the book James tells us this: "You," meaning we, "do not have because we do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures." Like Dick and Jane, we're most likely to ask for more so that we can indulge ourselves with the things that we love without considering God's wisdom or will in our lives. So we're all guilty of making financial decisions without considering the wisdom of God first in our process. And that points to all of us. When it comes to managing our money, we all need wisdom. We need the wisdom of not only knowing what to do with our money, but the wisdom of knowing what to do next. John Wesley developed a system of financial stewardship that suggested that the way to handle money was three-pronged. He said, first of all, make all the money you can. Make all the money you can. But after you've made all the money you can, save all the money you can. And then after you've saved all the money you can, he said, give all the money you can. Not all the money you want to give, but all the money you can. And so he wasn't concerned about accumulating vast amounts of wealth. So that the purpose of his sermon at that time was not to raise money for the church, but about how he might teach the use of resources to enable faithful disciples to manage money in ways that are consistent with our commitment to Christ. If, in fact, we're going to utilize God's wisdom in our decisions, then there must be something consistent with who God is, with who Christ is, and with who we are as we seek to honor God with our gifts. That's why it's important for us now to seek financial knowledge, not just for the sake of knowing how to make money, but to seek God's wisdom in our lives as an act of faithful Christian stewardship, remembering the words from James that we do not have because we do not ask. And when we do ask, we don't receive because we ask wrong. And in order to spend when we ask wrong, we ask it because we want to spend it on our own pleasures. And if any of you is lacking in wisdom, and this is also in James, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting. You see, friends, it's likely God will give us the desires of our hearts if our hearts are in line with God's wisdom in our life matters. So, if you could ask for anything using God's wisdom, how would your answers to the question change? Would you still seek a life of champagne wishes and caviar dreams? Would you still ask for those things that allowed you to consume what you selfishly desire, or would you ask for something that would be pleasing to God? If we seek God's wisdom, the world can be ours. If we seek God's wisdom, then the world can be ours. Or have we so quickly forgotten that Jesus said, therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And all this other stuff, it will be added to you. And that is the word of God today for the people of God.